Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're so glad you joined us in the studio today. We have Tanya and Beth and Janelle again, and Dennis is back in the corner, Janelle's dad, Miss Tara and myself, Sandy. And last time we talked about taking up your cross, and I know that that really struck me, you know, a lot about do I take up my cross and do I patiently and uncomplainingly pick it up? No, I'm sorry, I don't, but that's what we're supposed to do. Well, today we're going to talk about how Peter acknowledges Christ. And we'll be in Matthew 16, 13 through 27, and Tara is going to discuss settling identity.
Thank you, Sandy. I'm excited about this passage. This passage is familiarly known as Peter's Confession of Christ. That's what it's most famous for. If you look in your Bibles, it's often labeled that. And it's at this point, just to kind of set the context, they have been feeding the 5,000. Herod is trying to figure out who this Jesus is. He's asking the people. People are saying he's John the Baptist, Elijah, prophets. And he knows it's not John the Baptist because he had him beheaded. And so this is kind of where our passage is at. And so Jesus knows that there's a lot of dialogue about his identity happening within the community. And it's at the point in time in the disciples' lives that he needs them to solidify that. In order for them to go to the next level, they need to get who he is down. And not just down as in a belief, not just down in what they think, but down in such a way that they understand his identity that they are able to speak it. And I really want you to focus in on that because I think that's crucial. It's what we say. And because what we speak with our mouth is from the overflow of what's in our heart. Okay, so Matthew 16, 13 through 28, this is what the Bible tells us. So Jesus, as they arrived in Caesarea Philippi, he looked out at the disciples and he said to them, "Who do the people say that I am?" And the disciples replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist. Others, they say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah, and others say prophets." And Jesus stopped and he looked at them and he said, "Who do you say I am?" Well, Peter cried out, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter of John, for this was not given to you by man, but it was given to you by the Father in heaven. And I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And Jesus then, he began to warn the disciples. He said, "Don't tell anyone about what you've learned." And he began to explain to them that he has to go to Jerusalem and that he's going to suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, that they are going to kill him. But he will rise on the third day. Just then, Peter took Jesus aside and he said, "Never, Lord, this is not going to happen to you." And Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in you the mind of God, but the things of man." Jesus turned to his disciples and he says, "If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself. He must take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life must lose it. Whoever wants to lose his life will find it. What good is it for a man to profit the whole world if he's going to lose his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he's going to reward each one according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some of you standing here today will not taste death before the Son of Man comes bringing in his kingdom." May God honor the telling of his word. It is a beautiful passage, isn't it? I love this passage. And I really want us to focus in on the whole solidifying identity, settling it in. There are many great things that we can talk about and walk through in this passage. And so I just want to open it up for us just to talk for a second before I start going into the stuff. What is it that you see about the identity as you just hear this passage today? What speaks to you immediately just with hearing it? We're on the radio. It can't be silent.
We always think so much.
Yeah, we're thinking.
We're thinking. We're thinking. Yes.
But Jesus specifically asked Peter, who do you say that I am?
Right.
Didn't matter what others said. Right. Want to know directly from him.
Okay. And he asks us the same thing.
He does.
Mm-hmm. Individually.
He does. There is actually a process here that if you look at this, he starts first with the identity of how the community out. He's bringing it in. So if you were to look at a funnel, it's a great big opening, you know, who do the people say I am? And then he brings it down to home, to the individual. Mm. Because oftentimes, I think we tend to look to all those around us to define what we think, what we feel, what we do. Yep. And so he's wanting them to see what's going on. I mean, he knows it's going on. He knows they're discussing it. That's reality of living in community, right? But he's bringing it down to them as a person, because we can't walk, as Tanya says, off of what somebody else thinks. It has to be from within ourselves to get that established. And and so he's bringing it in. Now, the cool thing is that that question, who do you say I am? They Holman commentary says it's in the imperfect tense, and that it's actually as if he is saying it many times. And so they believe that most likely it wasn't just a one-time question. The implication is by the verb tense that they use that he may have actually looked at the 12. Who do you say I am?
Yeah.
Who do you say I am?
That makes sense.
And I mean, really getting them to focus in and hear. So the implication is, following through with what Sandy said, it immediately has to come into where we have to ask ourselves. And as I was looking at this, there's something that I have been using as a training a lot within the last 3 to 4 years. And the more I have dove into this training, the more that God is showing me how much it is biblically integrated, you know, and helping us to understand the stages of discipleship. And I, with our leaders on campus, I use it. I probably use it with somebody at least once a week. And so God's been putting my heart a lot thinking on it. And recently he showed me how it is solidified with our identity. And the original framework for what I'm going to say comes from Jim Putman. And he's out of a church in Idaho. And it's called Real Life Discipleship. And so the first basis of what I'm going to say comes from him. But from there, then it's me just building on what God's showing me. So he has this circle. And in this circle, it talks about the importance of going from death to spiritual life. That, you know, a person is spiritually dead. And then when they become spiritually born, they become an infant. The importance of what happens with an infant is you want to give them the word. You want to, everything an infant needs, you have to give and teach an infant. And then he takes it to the spiritual child. Well, the spiritual child, you take it further and you help them get rid of their self-centeredness and begin to see others. And then he takes it to the young adult, which is you help them to serve to eventually become a parent. But not everybody is a parent. And it's the same with us spiritually. Not everybody can birth children, and not everybody births spiritual children. Mm. And ultimately, in the kingdom building, that's our goal. Well, I was praying through this a few weeks ago, and just meditating on growing our students on campus, and I thought, God, this really solidifies about identity. And Father, God put it in my heart. I just can't even believe how it happened. It was just amazing. It was just sitting there. And so it's the identity in Christ, identity in community, identity to purpose, and then identity to kingdom. Ooh. And as I was reading this morning, that's what Jesus is doing with Peter. Mm. And so I wanted to kind of give us that framework to help us see that. So when Jesus asked him, essentially they are followers. They have done what Jesus has asked in the come follow me. They've believed on the Lord Jesus enough that they're now following him and truly been his disciples, seen him preach, teach, heal, and feed the 5,000. And now he's really wanting to hone in because he knows Jerusalem is coming. And they have to be able to confess with their mouths in the worst of circumstances who he is. And he says, who do you say I am? And that is establishing the identity in Christ. That's where it all begins. Every infant has to have that taken care of as a spiritual infant. Mm-hmm. That if we can't identify who he is, we can't identify who we are.
Right.
And so he's getting that right, establishing that identity. And so I'm just curious, you know, I know each of us can think of that moment when our identity began and what that looked like, and the person that taught us how to read the Bible, the person that taught us how to pray, the person that taught us it's important to go to church, you know. Who's the person that taught you how to read the Bible? Who's the person that taught you how to pray? Who's the person that told you it's important to go to church? Just, I'd love to hear that, because that's the beginning stages.
You.
Me?
You.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I remember when Tanya came to that Bible study. It was a Bible study on prayer.
Yep.
Mine was my friend Pat. That was, we were friends for years, and then, yeah, she led me to Christ. So, praise the Lord.
God is good. Mm. Janelle?
I'm definitely looking over here at my dad.
Yeah.
Parents were a big part of that.
I love that. Beth?
And mine would be Sabrina, who used to be here on the radio show, and you.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Your neighbor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're in her house.
That's so funny.
It just comes full circle, doesn't it?
Yes. Mine would be, I had a cousin, and then it was an uncle. I can see layers to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But eventually it was leaders in church that I was watching before I had anybody like really owning in me. I watched to see what they were doing and said, okay, God, if they can do it, then I can do it in Christ. Yes. And so mine was also a process of watching and learning and then taking that in.
Mm.
And so Jesus is wanting them to get this. Who do you say I am? The identity. Why do you think it's so critical at this point for the disciples, for them to have the identity, knowing that Herod's watching to see who is this Jesus? Why would it be important for the followers of Jesus to get his identity so defined in their hearts?
Well, he's going to be their strength, you know, to get through the persecution that they're that's coming.
They're about to face,
right?
Well, and the things that they face later on, if they didn't believe that Jesus was who he said he was, they wouldn't have faced those things.
Absolutely,
and they would have given up their cause. But the reason that they persisted is because they knew who he was, and therefore could not abandon their cause.
Mm. Mm-hmm. It's good,
absolutely,
it's good,
and oh. Okay, so fast forwarding for a second with Peter, because I was about to say, I think, yes, there's an initial identity in Christ when we receive him and begin that walk, but it's a forever question, like making sure and confirming that in our heart and affirming that in our heart in ways that we haven't placed full identity in him.
Mm.
And I'm just thinking, fast forwarding to Peter, because he ends up denying him in the face of persecution.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still given grace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're still a child of the one who gives second and third and fourth chances.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, which always brings me back to my favorite question when I talk about the infant. Just think of a normal baby crawling, learning how to get up on the elbow, and then the process of standing up. I have never seen a parent yell at a child for those efforts.
Mm-mm.
Even when the child falls,
it's encouragement.
Get back up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get back up, and picks them up and helps them get back up.
Dust them off.
And dust them off, and you celebrate that a step was taken. You don't hone in on the fact that a fall has occurred.
Right.
And it is so easy, and I say it so easy because I'm identifying within myself, for us as believers when we are watching infants try to be a Christian and fall, that instead of saying get back up, putting the spirit of condemnation, the spirit of judgment, the spirit of what's wrong with you? You shouldn't be doing that. And I can remember circumstances in my life, and this is a funny story. The day, actually, that I was baptized, my brother and my cousin, and I won't use the word, thought it would be funny to teach me a cuss word in a foreign language. And the family's habit at the time was we would go to one of the aunt's or uncle's houses for dinner, and we're all sitting around, and Tony and Aaron are like, you should say it. You should say your word. And I have no idea what they told me what the word was, what it meant, but I said it at the table. And my uncle Darius is like, young lady, you shouldn't be using words like that. I mean, I totally got chewed out big time because you're a believer now and believers don't cuss. And I'm like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, and
for but that's the key. You had no idea.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes I think even as new believers, we may know because somebody, they don't know yet. But we could know too and still fall.
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
Because some of the sins are so gripping.
Right. Or they may have it in their life and God hasn't chosen to take it out of their life yet.
That's a good key.
Or they haven't humbled to the humility to let God do it. Yeah. Well,
or, you know, I guess like you, I've talked to you about before, if I knew everything that was going to change in my life when I first came to Christ, I would have walked out the door. I mean, seriously.
It's crazy.
It's a process.
It is a process.
You know, and we may think they need to be there, and they may not be there.
Yeah, well, we're not done yet either, so.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want to hone in on what Beth just said. It's a process. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here we have this identity. And the way that Jim Putman has this drawn is it's like a linear circle. You know, I mean, if you can call a circle linear. But, you know, it looks like it just goes straight around, and that's it. It's done. But as I thought about it and I started thinking of the nation of Israel, it's really spiral because you go up and then you kind of go down and then you get it back up and you keep moving up. And so to see it more as a spiral that should be moving upward instead of just a circle that you complete, okay, infant, child, young adult, parent. You know, I think that as areas grow, you know, they'll grow up, but we'll have many places we'll have to build up to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole concept of identity, he wants them to get it. I want you to hear this. Their minds are thinking, John the Baptist has been beheaded. Okay? And they know that. And they know that the very one who beheaded him is trying to figure out who Jesus is. And they're following him. Mm-hmm. So that's in everybody's minds. And then they're standing. They've traveled from Caesarea Philippi to Capernaum. And literally, the commentators say that they were most likely standing under the place where the idols of the deity of Pan are within their culture. So they're at a place of many idols, many beliefs in many gods. And Jesus is wanting them to understand who the one true living God is. Mm-hmm. And so Peter's confession didn't come from himself, it came from God. And it's part of that is to help break down the idols that they have around them. And they need to be able to confess that as they're amongst the people dealing with the idols. So we need to have that in our mind as well. And we have just discovered time went fast. We only have 30 seconds left for this recording. So you're going to have to come back if you want to learn how to have identity and community, identity of purpose, and identity for the kingdom, to see how that's going to grow in this passage. And we're so glad that you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. You can contact us at cultivatinghearts.org. or terrorwrite.com or opendoormission.org. And we just want to say thank you to all of the donors that make it possible for us to do this ministry. God bless.